The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Start of a new week. The dawn of a new era. Glad you're with us on this gorgeous Monday afternoon. Temps going up to 80. Just beautiful summer days. It's a great weekend. But I'm only talking weather-wise because our city, our region, our nation are figuratively on fire right now. And there's an interesting transition because I already knew what I was going to talk about at the beginning of the show. And I'm going to respectfully disagree with our news department because I three times heard the words peaceful to describe the protests over the weekend. I just don't think there's anything peaceful about them. On Saturday, it was not a peaceful protest. They were smashing windows. They were setting fires. And well, that's just a few agitators. Okay, two things on that. One bad cop in Minneapolis, and the whole nation's on fire saying all cops are B-words, as you just heard played on our air. I'm not going to extrapolate and say the same thing about all the protesters. But if you don't stop it, if you cheer when somebody else sets a building or a dumpster on fire, then you are part of the dangerous problem. And they all were cheering wildly. So I didn't see anything peaceful. I didn't see anything that was protesty. It was just rioting in Seattle on Saturday. And what I want to talk with you about today is more than ever, I can see the future. And it's not pretty in our region or in our country. Now, this is completely absent what's going to happen with the presidential election in November. Because I have no idea what's going to happen there. But I'm just talking about in the 3 months between now and then, I can see the future. In fact, over the weekend, we got a pretty good glimpse of just a fraction of what the future holds for all of us. Let me explain. Let me get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
We have among the peaceful protesters, there are a bunch of people walking around with AK-47s trying to intimidate people. Joseph Wanigal is a Seattle property owner. He's going to join us at 12:30 this afternoon. I'll talk to him. But I saw him interviewed earlier this morning. And he was talking about, he owns apartments right next to Cal Anderson. And he talks about to Fox what he is seeing on the streets of Seattle.
I witnessed, people rolling around with AK-47s, continually protesters coming for essentially battle. I mean, with, you know, things to throw at people, things to, you know, explosives. They put a hole in the East Precinct. They're smashing on everything. They're spray painting everything. I mean, I don't know how anybody would want to live in that neighborhood. It's very difficult. And this is also a neighborhood where this is typically an LGBTQ neighborhood.
Doesn't matter. They're eating their own on the far left right now. And so over the weekend in the non-peaceful riots that engulfed Seattle, we had 59 police officers injured, many of them with burns after IEDs were thrown at them. There were 47 arrests in the non-peaceful rioting on Saturday. There was a woman in scrubs who claims that she's a cancer nurse. I don't have any reason to doubt her, but there was video that TV stations got. Q13 had an interview with her. The police were tussling with a guy, and this woman in scrubs comes running hard right at the cops who are tussling with a guy. And she says she was going to try to pull the guy away from the cops, and the cops pepper spray her because that's what happens when you run headlong at cops.
What were you trying to do in that moment before you got sprayed?
Pull the guy away. I mean, I've seen footage from Hong Kong of like how you have to get people away from the cops because once they get them, they arrest them, they brutalize them, they beat them. They look like, I saw the guy with the baton and the guy that had the tear gas launcher, I guess. And it's like, okay, so you're aiming that at people. Like, you're muzzle sweeping people in the crowd with this. This is a bounce off the ground scenario. Not even a shoot into the air scenario because it can come down. Like, basic gun safety. It still applies to everything from paintball guns to, you know, tear gas launchers. So that wasn't happening.
Okay. So she's comparing our police to the Chi-Com military, which gives you an idea how serious this woman is, or just what a lack of any world perspective she has. And she went on to describe why she was interfering as she talked with Q13.
I started grabbing the guy and dragging him up, trying to pull him up the top because it's hard to get up from down. And something hit me in the... Sorry for the unprintable language, but I'm going to have a nice debrief. I heard.
Yeah, you didn't know. You asked me what happened. When you see how much it shot you backwards, how strong that spray was, what were your thoughts? Like when you see what happened, plus you felt it.
Well, no wonder my butt hurts. that's pretty much what I was thinking. I was like, I think I've got like 3 seconds. I either get this guy up or they drag him down. And if he goes down, I'm probably going to go down too. And if I go down there too, they're going to hit me. So...
Okay, so this woman says she's a cancer nurse. She said she worked at Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. I don't have her last name, so I'm not able to confirm with Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. But let me get this straight. So a cancer nurse wears her scrubs to a riot, interferes with the Seattle police arrest, gets pepper sprayed, compares our cops to communist China military, did an unmasked interview amidst thousands of people, and now is going to go back to work where she will be with the highest risk people imaginable, cancer patients. And again, I'd love to, we will try to clarify, because she made public declarations that she worked for Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. I would like to confirm that. But all I have is her first name, which makes that impossible. I made an inquiry this morning and was told I would have to have a last name as well. So I'm working on that. But I want to know, are they going to quarantine her and keep her away from patients for 14 days after being unmasked amidst a riot? Is a cancer nurse so enthralled with being a part of the rioting and declaring our police an occupying force on Capitol Hill, which is insane because it is our police that liberated Capitol Hill from CHOP. But that's just some of the insanity that is taking place as part of the messaging of all of this. And I have more for you. So last Thursday night, I retweeted video just northeast of Northgate. Some Antifa bike brigaders were blocking a street. And cars were backed up for blocks and blocks and blocks, honking their horns, unable to move. It was dusk. I'm sure a lot of people were just trying to get home from work still. And all of a sudden, you see a younger man, looked like he was maybe around 30 years old. That's younger to me. He gets out of, presumably out of his car, because he's already walking when the video starts. But he walks up and he just decks one of the bike brigade guys. Smacks him with a megaphone. And then King 5 talked with the guy who got hit.
And it was pretty odd that he was holding a megaphone. He was using it to scream at us from a distance for a little bit, and he just swung at me unexpectedly. I kept my hands on my bike the whole time. He just swung at me and conked me on the head. It's a megaphone. See, it's broken, and that's what he hit me with. I believe that since the Seattle Police Officers Guild has been kicked out of the King County Labor Council, I don't believe that they're very committed to protecting the public anymore.
Was there anything that you would like to say to him?
I would like to say that I'm not angry at him. I'm just disappointed, and I would like to know why he did it.
Well, he did it because you'd been blocking traffic for blocks and blocks and blocks, and people are getting heated these days. And we're seeing, you know, what transpired in CHOP, where two teenagers were murdered. On I-5, a young woman was killed by a driver when protesters were allowed to close down and walk on I-5 for 17 straight days. I mean, we're talking about two events completely created by our government. Jenny Durkin created CHOP, and police and State Patrol and Jay Inslee allowed protesters to walk on I-5 for 17 straight nights, knowing that that would have tragic consequences eventually, because we set it on night two. Everybody knew that that was going to have tragic consequences. So now we have three young people who have died, two teenagers and a 25-year-old woman, directly connected to conditions created by our lack of political leadership here. And so now let me extrapolate this and tell you what's going on around the country, if you're not aware. In Austin, Texas, there was a peaceful protester named Garrett Foster, and he would walk around the protests on the streets and walk in the middle of traffic and stop cars carrying his AK-47. And he explained why he was so well armed as he was stopping traffic in the streets.
AK-47.
Why'd you got it out tonight?
They don't let us march in the streets anymore, so got to practice some of our rights.
You feel like you don't need to use it?
Nah, I think if I use it against the cops, I'm dead. And I think all the people that hate us and, you know, want to say are too big of a to stop and actually do anything about it. So.
Why'd you start caring?
Well, our roommate got arrested and they stopped letting us march anywhere, so started caring.
Okay, so he said that the people who oppose them are too big of wussies to do anything about it. Saturday night, young Garrett, 28 years old, he was trying to stop traffic in the middle of a street in Austin, Texas. And there is and has been released this morning a still shot frame from a video where Garrett Foster had leveled his AK-47 at the driver and occupants of that vehicle to try to stop them from driving down the street. And that's when the driver of the vehicle, having a gun pointed at him, responded with deadly force. Garrett Foster was 28 years old, and it's so sad. Now, the driver of that truck, he's been questioned and released by police because there is compelling evidence that the peaceful protester with the AK-47 had leveled it at the driver of that car, and the driver was firing in self-defense. And after he drove off, after shooting and killing young Garrett, he went and turned himself in and explained that this guy on the street had just pointed a gun at him and he felt that his life was in danger. Garrett Foster had either a girlfriend or a wife, mixed reports, who's a quadriplegic and a witness to that shooting.
A car drove up. We were taking the streets, and he shot Garrett. Garrett is the husband of Whitney, a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, and he is her caretaker and has been for like 10 years. I think he pointed the gun at her. Sorry, they've been out here for like all 50 days so far.
And again, police right now are treating it as a self-defense shooting.
On Saturday, July 25th, at approximately 9:52 p.m., Austin police officers were on scene in the 300 block of Congress Avenue, monitoring protesters when shots were fired. One adult male victim was located with a gunshot wound. That victim was transported to Del Seton, but was pronounced deceased shortly thereafter. Initial reports indicate the victim may have been carrying a rifle and approached suspect vehicle.
And he was, it's now been proven, and they're right now treating it as a self-defense shooting. Eugene, Oregon. Guy is trying to stop cars in the street with a gun. And again, a driver pulled a handgun. It looked like a scene right out of Reservoir Dogs as they each had guns pointed at
him. You want to hear that?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of people who are acting in self-defense now. And so let me get back to seeing the future, because I've been telling you for weeks, this is the desired outcome of the Marxist movements that are behind the rioting that has engulfed our city for much of the last 2 months. They want to collapse. They want to break capitalism. They want to break a democracy. And then the Marxists can rebuild in their own image. And if you got police not involved and anarchists and citizens with guns just taking each other out, as I said, political conditions directly connected to the deaths of three young people here in Seattle. The two executed at CHOP, one boy, one man, 16 and 19, and the woman killed on the freeway. Political conditions directly connected to the three deaths. I can see the future, and I don't like it at all until we get some people with some common sense running things around here. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I'm going to check the news for you, and then I will talk to that Capitol Hill property owner who's very upset. It's what's happened to his neighborhood. You'll hear it firsthand from him next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, as we talked about in the Big Lead, once again on Saturday, our city rocked by rioting. And yes, I do call it what it is. I don't sanitize it by calling it protesting. It was rioting that was going on a pretty widespread basis. And some property owners have had enough. As you know, some are suing the city over CHOP. Joseph Wanigal is part of that group, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Joseph, good to talk with you. Appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me.
So you've been putting up with this for a long time. Are you a Capitol Hill property owner?
That is correct. I own, a couple apartment buildings right there next to Callenderson Park and a block from the precinct. So
what I find so interesting is all of these council members who a couple of weeks ago, they marched to one of the council members' houses. And then they said, oh, we decry them coming to our houses. And I was thinking, where were you when tens of thousands of people who live in apartments like yours, right next to Cal Anderson, where was the council saying they should not do this? They only seemed to care when the rioters came to their house, but they didn't seem to care when it was happening for a month on end at your tenants' homes.
Well, I'll give you a good one. So out of the last 2 months of protesting there, the CHAZ, the CHOP, and everything else, the only call I personally actually gotten from the city was a couple of days ago from Seattle Public Utilities asking me to hide my dumpster inside the building so that right. The rioters could not set it on fire and use it as a barricade.
Yeah, it's I've heard those calls going out all weekend long because there were a bunch of dumpsters set ablaze on Saturday. So as a taxpayer, What is your reaction to what the mayor, the council, what the city is doing right now to your neighborhood?
Well, I'm glad the cops are back.
Yep, yep.
I'm for sure glad about that. But the reality of the situation is even when they arrest these people, they're getting let right back out of jail.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work. I mean, people that literally blow holes in buildings, burn things down, and are putting people's lives at risk should spend some time in jail because they should. They're too dangerous to be on the streets.
Well, arson is a felony crime. And yet we are not even arresting the arsonists in 99% of the cases. And then, like you said, when they do, they just turn them right back out on the streets. And I really don't know what they're waiting for. The normal thing would be to say, are they waiting for them to kill somebody? But of course, they've already done that. Two teenagers were murdered in CHOP. So what do you think they're waiting for before they actually start doing something about this?
That's a good question because they're providing things. It's all about, how are we going to help the rioters, protesters? You know, how are we going to get them sanitizing stations? How are we going to get them potties? How are we going to help them? How are we going to protect them? But what about the people that actually live in that neighborhood? How are they going to be protected? How are they going to live there? How are buildings owners going to rent their apartments? It's just a loss for words. I mean, the only call I get once again is to hide my garbage can, not how do we help you be safe there?
Well, and the protesters / rioters, they're becoming increasingly violent. They're brandishing weapons. I know that you've seen them walking around with weapons, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when the whole Chad CHOP thing started, on a daily basis, I was getting people texts from tenants with pictures of people with assault rifles. I mean, this is dangerous stuff. I mean, literally, three of the shootings were literally less than a block. I mean, almost directly in front of my building.
Here's what I'm really worried about, Joseph. We saw all kinds of violence around the country, including in Austin, Texas, where a guy wasn't allowed to drive down the street, and one of the protesters, just like the ones you saw, was brandishing an AK-47. There's one still shot photo of him leveling it at this vehicle that wanted to just keep driving, and somebody inside the vehicle shot and killed the protester. And that's what I fear is the future here, is if the police are not allowed to get things under control, if we don't lock up the criminals, if the politicians keep creating, aiding, and abetting these situations, something really ugly is going to happen. We've already seen it. A woman got killed on I-5 out protesting. As I said, two teenagers at CHOP. It's clear what is coming, and they don't seem to care about it.
Well, that's exactly the problem. It's like, okay, I would just about have to break the law in order to protect my property. I mean, I hired private securities during the Chaz CHOP, and they said mostly what they do is they watch for stuff going on, and then you would call the police. They're not supposed to be engaging with these people. So is the city, the county, the state asking private residents to protect their own property and engage with these citizens? So have untrained people fighting back? Is that what we really want?
My opinion, yes. That's what the agitators really want. I think that they want mayhem in the streets. I think that they see that as a way to destroy capitalism, to tear down the city. I truly do believe that's what they want, Joseph. I think the facts of the last couple of months would back me up on that. Which leads me to my question. Why not just get out? I mean, since the city's such a mess for landlords like you, why not just sell your buildings and get out?
I've worked 17 years at this. This is the city I moved to create my career. I mean, 20 years ago, I was detailing cars and having people yell at me for not having clean cup holders. So this is my livelihood. I mean, this is my livelihood. I build my thing. You know, there's several people that have done that here. You know, Amazon, Starbucks, you know, and countless others. They've started their career. They started their dream here. And so now we have to sell it out at a discount if we want to get out of this. No, I want to take back our city. I want to take back our city.
Yeah, amen. No, that's my answer every time, too, because people ask me why I continually talk and point out all of the massive problems of this region. And it's because I was born here and I still love this city and I don't want to let it go without a fight. And so I'm glad there are people like you out there, but I'm sorry for what you have to go through between now and whatever the end game destination's going to be, because it sure isn't fair to business owners like yourself.
No, it's not. It's just not fair. I mean, we're still being abandoned here. I mean, this has to be taken seriously.
Yes, it does. Joseph, I appreciate all your insights. Thank you for your time. Thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Dory.
You bet. All right. Joseph Wadigal, who owns some apartments right next to the CHOP area there. Love to get your reaction to this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we do have much more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. One story we're going to be following throughout this afternoon, could be some breaking news throughout the day, is the sports season once again in jeopardy. Two Major League Baseball games have been postponed that were supposed to be played tonight. Season's just 3 days old. Four, technically. There are a couple games Thursday as well. But for most teams, the season's 3 days old. And yesterday, 14 members of the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins, were tested positive with coronavirus. And they knew they had an outbreak in the morning, and they still went out and played a game. And they won it in Philadelphia. But then tonight, the New York Yankees were supposed to be in Philadelphia and use the same locker room that the Miami Marlins had just been in. And they said, well, we can't have that because we have no way of knowing. So 3 days into the baseball season, at least two games are postponed tonight. And Major League Baseball is having talks this afternoon about whether they should suspend the season. Now, it doesn't look like it's trending that way, but that would have serious repercussions for NFL and college football if Major League Baseball could only make it 3 days into their restarted season. So I'll keep you posted on that. I have more information coming up in the Fastest 15 on that story. For those of you who have resigned yourself to the fact that your kids are not going to go to in-person school this fall, the WEA, the Statewide Teachers Union, they have now officially requested that every single public school in the state be online learning. And the question persists, are we the taxpayers going to get a huge chunk of our school tax dollars back? Because there simply is no way that it's anywhere near as expensive. Teacher salaries only make up 48% of most school districts, the average school district's budget. The physical plant, administration, things like the custodians, the lunch, let's call them lunch ladies. I suppose that's not politically correct. The lunch people, whatever they are. I know that there's people still preparing food to send. Transportation, no bus drivers. And so all of these expenses are gone. We need to get our money back. If government is going to shut down every single school, then we taxpayers should get gigantic property tax refunds from the state of Washington. And I've been talking with a group, still trying to get them on the show, that's ready to sue to help us get our tax dollars back. I tweeted late last week just an example of how tone deaf some administrators are. Now, I don't know the doctor who's the superintendent of the North Shore School District. I don't know anything about her. I don't know anything about her policies, if she's liked or not liked by teachers, by kids, by parents. I don't know. But what I do know is that she posted a video last week to announce that North Shore is going to go all online like all of these other districts. And it was just, it was unbelievably tone deaf. We have 10% of our population still unemployed. It's probably gotten worse since the shutdown has just been expanded for restaurants and bars and everything else. So we got 10% of our population unemployed, at least. We have parents who have no idea what they're going, those who are working, they have no idea what they're going to do for childcare in the fall when there's no school to go to. And they're worried sick about that and the expense that's going to add to these families' lives. And so while all of these families are wrestling with the most dire of economic situations, the superintendent of the North Shore School District records a video to announce that they're all online. And she looks, she made sure that the camera shot included a sweeping view of Puget Sound, and there's a ferry traveling that you can see. So she lives either on the water or, you know, a sweeping 180-degree water view, but it's, you know, likely a million or maybe multi-million-dollar house. And she's wearing a Suncadia polo shirt. So likely she has a second home up at Suncadia. Now, I don't fault anybody for what they make. I guess I do in the public sector because there's no free market economics to restrict it. But I looked it up. She makes 300, as of 2017, she made $317,000 a year. Has this gorgeous waterfront or water view home, likely has a place at Suncadia, and decided to frame her video to show the sweeping view of Puget Sound and chose to wear this bright orange Suncadia polo. And again, not faulting her for achievements, but I'll fault her for her optics. When you have a bunch of families that are just struggling, unemployed, business owners who have been devastated, no idea how they can afford daycare for all online schooling. And it was like every aspect of the framing and the video and the clothing was, look at what I have. I'm still getting my $317,000 a year. How are you doing? By the way, we're closing the schools this fall. It's about optics. I want to know who the PIO for the North Shore School District is. Were they on the shot? And did they call and say, hey, can you change your shirt and maybe just show a blank wall behind you?
Instead of your sweeping waterfront view.
But this is increasingly what happens for people in government. It's all about, oh, look what we got off your backs. Optics! Check the news for you, and then the bit. No, it's the fastest 15. That's coming up next here at the Dory Monson Show.